Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Do you fear what might happen in the future? Many an hour can be spent in anxious and useless worry about what might happen one day. In doing so, we miss experiencing present-day joys and blessings because we lack faith in our Heavenly Father's care for us. If you've ever found yourself in a bout of fear that was brought on by taking your eyes off God and thinking that you're all alone, then you're not the only one. In today's Bible adventure, Abraham fell into this very same trap too.
And Abram and his entourage came to the land of Canaan and dwelt there. And there came a famine in the land of Canaan.
But Uncle Abram, we've got to do something. The cattle and sheep are about to starve, to say nothing of our families.
I know, Lot. I understand that the land of the Nile is rich in foods and that the king is generous and deals kindly with strangers.
Then we're going to Egypt?
We'll go to Egypt temporarily. Sarai?
Yes, Abram?
You're beautiful.
Well, to you, perhaps.
You are beautiful, Sarai, and I hear that the king of Egypt is, well, that he has a mania for beautiful women. I think we should keep it a secret from the king that we are man and wife. We'll tell him that we are brother and sister.
Lie? You? Abram, the man of faith?
Well, it isn't a lie, exactly. We are brother and sister.
Half-brother and sister.
Well, anyway, it's not a lie to tell the king we are brother and sister.
It's deception, Abram.
Yes, perhaps, but it's necessary in this case to save my life.
Don't you have faith and trust in God that he'll protect you from the king?
Yes, but God will do for us only those things we cannot do for ourselves, and this is one of those cases. I think it is my duty to tell the king we're brother and sister, even if it is a deception.
Oh, just the same, Abram. I don't think any good can come from lies, deception.
And it came to pass that when Abram was come to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld Sarai, that she was very fair. The thing was told Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Sarai! Sarai, where are you?
Greetings, Uncle Abram.
Lot, where is your Aunt Sarai?
You don't know?
Lot, where is she?
They took her away.
Took her away?
To the king's palace.
Who did?
The princes and servants of the king.
The king has...
Uncle Abram, what's the matter?
Nothing that I... Well, that I... Lot, please go. Leave me alone.
But Uncle Abram...
Lot, please go.
Oh, all right, Uncle Abram.
Oh, God in heaven, God of mercy, show now thy mercy to me. Forgive me for transgressing thy law. Punish me for the lie I told, but, oh God, do not punish Sarai. It was I, oh God, not Sarai. Oh, forgive me. It is a sin to lie, oh God, and I'm sorry. Never again will I tell a falsehood. Never again will I mistrust thee or lose faith. Oh, forgive me and keep Sarai safe. Bring us together again and thy name shall be honored and glorified.
And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram unto him and said,
What is it that you have done to me, Abram? Why did you not tell me Sarai was your wife? Ignorantly, I was about to do her and you serious injury. But your God interposed, Abram, and saved me from doing this great sin against you.
I beg His Majesty's pardon and forgiveness. Mm.
Granted, Abram. Your God does you honor, Abram. He protects you. Obviously, it is a dangerous thing to harm a worshipper of your God. Is this protection normal, or does your God give you special protection?
No, Your Majesty. The God of heaven protects all who honor and love and worship him.
Obviously, I cannot permit you to remain in Egypt, lest I harm you and your God punish me again. Here now is your wife. Take her and go thy way.
And Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him.
O God, I thank you for your great mercy in granting me forgiveness. May I always remember that when one becomes a child of God, there is no excuse for falsehood or deception.
And they returned unto Canaan, the land of promise.
As recorded in Genesis chapter 12, Abram, together with his flocks, herds, servants, Sarai and Lot, travelled south to the Jordan River Valley. They stopped at a place about 50 kilometres north of Jerusalem, where the Canaanites had set up a pagan worship site. These people were the descendants of Canaan, the grandson of Noah, and whom Noah had cursed. Abram built an altar at Canaan to worship the living God there. God appeared to Abram and promised to give the land of Canaan to his descendants. At this time, Abram owned none of the land of Canaan. 6 centuries passed before Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. Although God's promises never fail, their fulfillment can be delayed by people's disobedience. From Canaan, Abram continued his journey south. He built a number of altars along the way to show his thankfulness to God and to acknowledge that the land ultimately belonged to God. In the end, Abram travelled the entire length of Canaan. It seems at that time when Abram was living like a nomad, moving his flocks and herds to wherever he could find food and water, and far away from where the local people were densely populated. Although God had promised Abram the land of Canaan and his son to inherit the land, it was not yet time for God to honour these promises. Abram continued to live in these truths by faith and following wherever God so led, yet none of his travelling caravan lacked food, water, guidance or protection. Believers in the Lord Jesus are also called to live by faith daily, making the most of the opportunities that arise for service and witness of Christ Jesus wherever and in whatever circumstances they find themselves. Just like Abram, we too can expect testing times when God is teaching us patience and submission in long and slow training periods. Of course, there's a reason for this. The Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 16 said, "Whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. Whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large ones." If then you've not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with true wealth? Abram needed to continue trusting the Lord. Soon after Abram had travelled the entire land of Canaan from north to south, a particularly severe trial of Abram's faith occurred. A terrible famine developed in the land, and it looked as though the land could no longer sustain him, his family, or his flocks. God's promise hadn't changed, and Abram now needed to learn to trust God, not only when all his needs were being supplied freely, but also when it appeared that suffering and lean times were coming. But Abram wasn't yet ready for this test, and he yielded to temptation to take matters into his own hands. Although God had told him to go to Canaan, where the Lord would bless him, now seemed that Canaan was no longer able to support him. Abram had heard about the land of Egypt being prosperous, so he made a decision to go there without consulting God at all. At first, it seemed to Abram that a compromise between the ways of the world and God's will and promises had actually worked out well. Christians who follow this path may easily misinterpret their prosperity that follows such a compromise to be a confirmation of God's leading. Then they accept the situation until God deals with them in punishment, forcing them out of the compromising position and back into the walk of true faith. Those who truly love God and desire to witness effectively for him find this compromise has in fact destroyed their testimony. Abram found this out the hard way. When Abram entered the land of Egypt, he became aware of an unforeseen danger. The Egyptians, like the Canaanites, were cousin descendants of Ham. Both groups were idol worshippers, immoral and cruel. Abram realized that his beautiful wife Sarai was being admired and that someone might kill him so they could take her to be theirs. At the time, Sarai was probably 65 years old and she obviously wasn't wearing a veil of any kind. Abram thought that if Sarai was considered his sister, both of them would be treated with respect and that his life would be spared. If Abram said Sarai was one of his servants, Abram reasoned that his life would be spared, but Sarai's might be in greater danger. So Abram thought that saying Sarai was his sister instead of his wife was the best way forward, because Sarai really was his half-sister. All trust in God and his promises now seemed to be lost. God was still watching over them, and he caused terrible diseases to come upon Pharaoh and his household. When he realized that Sarai was the cause of all these things, he called for Abram. Pharaoh now feared harming either Sarai or Abram because he understood that they were under special protection of their God. He sharply rebuked Abram for telling such a lie and lost all respect and affection for them. He wasn't attracted to their God, even though he recognized that God was with them and that he wouldn't harm them. Pharaoh expelled Abram and Sarai from his country, and so they left, taking with them all the possessions that they had acquired in Egypt. The return journey to Canaan must have been a time of soul-searching for both of them. Outwardly, Abram and Sarai were returning safely with increased goods, having escaped the Canaan famine. But inwardly, they'd suffered a deep rebuke. They'd previously testified to others about God's power, faithfulness, and protection, but now they'd lost their testimony of trusting God in such things. At the first, the Egyptians had been greatly impressed by Abram and Sarai, and might have been won to faith in God through them. But their fear and compromise of God's righteous standards had caused the house of Pharaoh to suffer greatly, and the Egyptians had now come to despise them. Even Abram's own servants were likely disgusted, although they would never have told him so. Of course, Abram and Sarai should never have gone to Egypt in the first place. The Lord surely could have supplied their needs in Canaan, even in a harsh famine. But once in Egypt, they should also have been careful to maintain a good testimony at all costs. God could have protected them there without such a degrading compromise, and yet he still did protect them despite it. It's easy for us to look at Abram and Sarai or some other biblical character and be critical of them and their actions. We can easily fall into the same trap ourselves and then try to get ourselves out of our mess as best we can, just like Abram did. How can we live in today's culture without compromising our convictions? We must never be afraid to take a stand for what we know is right and true, but do so in a respectful and a humble manner. We might even be admired for sticking to our beliefs, even if others disagree with us. But despite meeting resistance, we must not compromise by going against God's holy word in our speech, thoughts, and actions. When living and working with those who don't see sin as something wrong, we can easily find ourselves compromising and agreeing to commit little sins. But this will eventually dull our sensitivity to other larger sins. It's also important we understand that we're most likely to compromise in areas where we're spiritually weak. Learn to recognize where your weaknesses are and put on God's spiritual armor daily so that you can be prepared for any and all temptations when they come. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.